Well, are you having a good week of camp, kids, huh? You know, I told you the first night we were here, and tonight's Wednesday, we go home tomorrow. And I told you the first night we were here that three things were going to happen this week. And they always happen at camp this way. I've never been in a camp, preached a camp, or been at a camp that these three things didn't take place. And I just want to talk to you tonight. I want to kind of just really try to reach you if I can tonight with some things. I preached to you the last couple of nights, and you've had good teaching and preaching in the morning. And you know, I want to tell you first of all how much I love you. I look at the kids that are in our church, you know, and that you're really special to me, and you just really make our church really great. And then all of the kids from Lincoln, you know, and all the kids from all the other places that have come, you know, you're part of our church too. And we love you very much. And you are just, you're such good kids. And I want you to get the most out of this week. I've done everything I know how to do. I put everything together the best of my ability. And I know that can only go so far. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit of God tonight to really, really talk to you. Because some of you here tonight, you need to be saved. You know as well as I do that if you died right now, you would not go to heaven. And that bothers me because, well, I want to see you in heaven. Some of you, you're saved, but you got one foot in the world and one foot in church. Some of you got on the teams last year, you know, to go up to Lincoln, and you gave up on it shortly after we got them all rolling. And you know what? And you're as far away from the Lord tonight, even though you're going to heaven, you're a long way tonight from where you really need to be. And you know, I pray for you that God will talk to you tonight and really open up and break your heart with some things. Then I've got the people who really hold the line as far as I'm concerned. And camp for you is a recharge your batteries. You're as good as they get. You know, you stayed faithful all year. You hung in there, you got better. You know, you did everything. You worked with Zach and Jenny and high school counselors, and you helped me, you worked with me, and you know, you're going to come out of here even better and stronger than you came in. And everybody needs their batteries charged. Everybody needs to get a reevaluation of themselves. And you know, so I want to talk to you. You know, we've talked this week about being a missionary, and we understand it now. We understand that the Christianity's got the wrong idea. They think that it's somebody that goes exclusively to a foreign country. We know that's not true now. We are missionaries if we're saved. God has a mission for us. And I want to talk tonight about understanding your life as a missionary. It's going to really depend on just one thing. Not going to be a bunch of things. It's not even going to be about the Bible, though the Bible is going to be crucial in your life of working with people and finding what God wants you to do. But this one element that really is going to be the deal breaker. And understanding your life as a missionary, it's only going to depend on one thing. It's going to depend on your ability or your willingness to invest in eternal things. Your ability to come to the point where you realize that life is so short and we waste so much time investing in things that really do not matter. An old preacher years and years and years ago told me something, and I never forgot it. I've used it many, many times. I've preached it many, many times. Most of your moms and dads have heard me say it. He told me one time that there's only two things that are worth investing your life in. The first one was the Word of God. The second one was the souls of men. And he said, because those are the only two things that are going to last for all eternity. Everything else we invest in isn't going to last. Everything else we put so much emphasis on in our lives to do. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do things. I'm not. I'm saying you need to have a well-balanced life and you need to be, you know, you need to have fun. I'm not taking that away from you. But when it comes down to understanding who you are in Christ as a missionary, fulfilling the mission of God that He has for you, it simply comes down to your ability, your willingness to invest in things that are going to last for eternity. That's really what it is. My whole life has been, and I have a lot of fun. I do a lot of things. We went out and trapped coons this week and possums and all that fun stuff. I love to have fun in life, but I never lose sight of the number one investment of my life ever since I got my life right with God many, many years ago was just two eternal things. The Word of God, which is going to live and abide forever, and the souls of men, they're going to spend it in eternity in heaven or hell based on what we do with the mission God gave us. And I want to talk to you about that tonight. I may get into a little bit of preaching tonight because I get excited about things, but that's not my goal. My goal is to reason with you tonight. My goal is to bring you to this Wednesday night to a definitive point in your life. We only got one more night. Tomorrow night, I want to send us out of here, fired up, challenged, and I'm probably going to preach Sunday the same message I'm going to preach tomorrow night so your parents can be part of it too and we can get another shot at it. But I want to talk to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says this. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Focusing on the things that nobody else can see. Abraham is a great study in the Bible. Abraham probably represents more than anything else that I know in the Bible, a complete picture of what your life and my life is. From the time we find God, early years of our life, right up to, you know, he's only one of two men in the Bible that are called a friend of God. And the goal you ought to have in life is to wind up being God's friend. But it takes some things to be God's friend because God looks at things differently. And as long as we keep looking at things that are temporal and making those the number one things in our life, Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You'll never be God's friend until you learn to look at things from his standpoint and see things eternal. Not temporal, the things that are eternal. In Romans chapter 4, verse 17, it talked about Abraham, and it says, for it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which are not as though they were. You know what? When I look at you, the world around you, your teachers, maybe even your parents, they just see a teenager, somebody preteen, a good kid, good young lady, good young man, a daughter or son in their family. And that's how most of them look at you. I don't look at you that way. I see in you what you can't see in yourself. I see the potential that you have. I'm like Abraham. I look at you and I call those things that are not yet in your life as though they were. I see beyond you sitting here. I see you beyond the struggles that you're having in life. I see you beyond where you're at. I see what God could do with you if you'll just get focused on the things that are eternal, get away from the things that are temporal. And I'm not saying you got to give it all up. Still play baseball, still have fun, still do this, still do that. I'm just saying the goal in your life becomes the mission. You become God's missionary. You become everything that God wants you to be, and you start looking at things in life the way he sees them. And you start seeing everything from his perspective. You see the world. You see people. You see circumstances. Now you see it from God's standpoint. You don't see it from your own standpoint. You don't look at it from the physical and the temporal thing. You look at it now from the eternal and the spiritual side of it. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8, 9, 10, 11. It says that God doesn't think like we think. He doesn't do things like we do. He does them differently. And the job of you this week is to get your focus that you go out of here looking at things the way God looks at them, understanding how he thinks. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Boy, that's no truer statement than anywhere in the Bible. We need to change the way we are to the way he is. And that's what we want to talk about. That's what we want to do this week. Missionaries. The mission. You're sitting here tonight as a young man and a young lady, teenager, preteen. I see you as God sees you, that God has a mission for you. He has something that he wants you to accomplish with your life. And we're here this week to try to help you do that. That's our goal. Now, I'm going to pick a passage out of Exodus chapter 36. And I want to talk to you about it in just a few moments, but I want to read it first. Let's turn over to Exodus chapter 36. That's in the Old Testament, the second book in your Bible, Genesis and Exodus, all the way up to chapter 36. And let's read it together, the first seven verses here, and then we'll talk about some things. It says, "Then wrought Bezaleel and Aholibab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezaleel and Aholibab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even those whose heart stirred him up to come to the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offerings which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary, to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work for the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, The people bring too much, more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, Let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary, for the people were restrained from bringing. For the stuff that they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much." Let's bow our heads and let's pray here, and let's ask God to bless it. And Nate, you're in the back there. Would you stand up and ask God blessing on the service tonight? Now, this is a story about Moses and the children of Israel and the mission that God had for them to reach the world in the Old Testament. God's mission for the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, you probably know this, that God gave them a city. That city is called Jerusalem. And in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was to build that as their capital, build a temple there, a literal temple. And then all the world that wanted to find God, all the nations, all the people of the world who wanted to find God had to go to Jerusalem, go to that temple, see God's people, and that's how they found God, by going to the temple built in Jerusalem. That was their mission for them. And of course, if you know anything about the Bible and history, you know the devil wanted to stop that. At every turn, he did, and he finally did stop it. And he put an end to it. And that's why we have the problems we have today. So God's mission for Israel in the Old Testament was built around a literal temple in Jerusalem. Now, God has a mission for you and for me in the New Testament. And I tell people this all the time, and it's an amazing concept. You know, where in the Old Testament there was a temple in Jerusalem that was a literal temple, and all the world came to the temple. In the New Testament, it's just a reversed. We now have our bodies. Once you get saved, 1 Corinthians 6:19, what know not you know, body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. You have of God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Right now, if you're saved, your body is the temple. Now, where in the Old Testament, the mission for Israel was to all the world to come to the temple, in the New Testament, the mission for you and for me is to take your body, the temple, to the world. That's your mission. You're a missionary. God has called you to do that. He's called you to do that. And this is a great story because when you come down through it here, you want to see some things. Now look at verse 1. Let's look at verse 1. It says, Then wrought Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all the manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. These are people who understood the mission. These are people who fully understood what God wanted them to do in the Old Testament. Now look at this. Three things I want you to see here. First thing I want you to see, the Bible says wise-hearted men who had from God wisdom and understanding to do the work of God. I want you to realize something, kids. God won't use just anybody. The fact that you got saved doesn't mean that God's going to use you. It means he wants to use you, but it is up to you. And there's many of God's people, and unfortunately, probably in this camp this week, there'll be young men and young ladies that could be greatly used of God, but you will not choose to do that. And God just won't pick you off this week. God wants young men and young ladies who have wisdom and understanding about the work of God. That's what we're here for this week. That's what Zach and Jenny and the counselors do in the high school class. That's what we do up in Lincoln. That's what we do in Washington. That's what we do. We take young men and young ladies and then give them the wisdom and understanding that God can take you and do something with you. He's not just going to come down and use anybody. He's looking for young men and young ladies who will give their life by a free will choice to want to be and do what God wants them to do. That's the first thing I want you to see. Then the second thing I want you to see, he says, understanding to know how to work all the manner of work for the service of the Lord. He wants you to understand every aspect of the ministry. You know, when I told you earlier last week or this week, when I was in the Army years and years and years ago, we were broken down into what we called A teams and B teams. And we were called A detachment and B detachment. And they ran that A detachment had 10 guys and B detachment had 10 guys. And they would put us into scenarios and situations where 10 guys could train and lead an indigenous army in a country somewhere of 1,000 people. And that was what we did. But every guy there not only had a primary thing that he was trained to do, he was cross-trained in the other guy's job too. In other words, everybody was cross-trained that if this guy got hurt or hit or killed, then somebody else could pick up the slack and do that job, that they would not suffer because of that. And in the ministry, you need to be cross-trained. If I got sick on Sunday morning, I got 30 guys I could call and say, hey, look, I need you to preach for me. You need to be cross-trained in every aspect of the ministry. You need to know how to disciple somebody. You need to know how to preach. You need to know how to teach. You need to know how to get somebody aside and counsel them with the Word of God. You need to know how to witness to somebody. Some of you need to learn how to lead singing. So if Danny's not there or Zach's not there, you can get up and just take it over. In the ministry, everybody needs to be cross-trained to cover the other guy's job. Down in the Army today at Fort Bragg, the 82nd Airborne down there, they have what they call the Rapid Deployment Battalion. They also have it in the Rangers groups. And they can be dropped in the world in 24 hours or less in any situation anywhere at all, and be adapted to that situation to fix whatever needs to be fixed. I always looked at that's exactly what Christians ought to be like. I train my people very hard. Your moms and dads are trained very hard. They're trained very definitely. Not everybody likes that. Not everybody can endure that. Not everybody can put up with that. I understand it. But I am looking for a certain kind of man and woman in my church. I want somebody that will buckle down to the rigors of the ministry and the rigors of the combat of the ministry and the service for the Lord and all that we got to go through. And it takes somebody that is tough and special and has a thick hide that I want to be able to drop you in Lincoln, Nebraska, Washington State, Costa Rica, anywhere in the world in time, and have you go in there and know exactly what to do, how to get it done, work together as a team that God can drop you anywhere to get the job done. That takes some training. Takes some cross training. And he says here that these guys that he says that they had understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary. I want you to be so equipped that you can do whatever needs to be done in the ministry without any limitations. Our church is filled with people like that. Our church is just filled to the brim with men and women that I feel so comfortable I could just drop them anywhere and I know they're going to get it done. They're going to know what to do. You know why? Because they have understanding. They have wisdom. They know the work. They have been trained. They have been cross-trained. And I train my people hard. Sunday morning, Thursday night, the singles ministry, the people ministry, the restart on the street ministry, and all the things that we do. We have they're called the people ministry. I started a number of years ago. And it was a thing where it was going to be so intense And I know human nature, and I and the people who are here, I had a contract written up of what I expected from them, what it was going to take for them to, I was going to give them all this material, but to whom much is given, much is required. And I had them fill out a contract that said, hey, you know what? I know what I'm getting into. I know this. I'm going to fulfill what this says because you're giving me this. I realize that I have to give something back. I want to be in the ministry. I will submit myself to this. And the whole list of how many people in that room signed one of those contracts? See, look around you. A bunch of people did. About 6 or 7 months ago, somewhere in there, I had to pull a deacon out from being a deacon. And some situations came up, and he didn't handle things right, and he caused a bigger problem with it, and he didn't do what he was supposed to do, and I had to meet with him. And when I met with him, what I did is I pulled his contract that he had signed. And on the bottom where he signed it, he had written something to the fuck like, I will really do all of this, you know. Da-da-da-da-da. And so he starts to explain to me why he didn't do what he was supposed to do, and I let him go. And when I was done, when he was done, I just laid the contract, and I said, I only got one question for you. Is that your signature? Is that your signature? Yes, it was. And I said, you know what? What part of that contract did you not understand? You know what? He'd forgotten he even signed the contract. I train them hard. You see, if we played softball together, it wouldn't matter if we lost or we won the game because we all go to eat afterwards anyhow. If we played volleyball or golf or whatever, if we went out deer hunting or rabbit hunting, it wouldn't matter if we got anything or not. You know what? If you missed the rabbit, big deal. If you spooked the deer and nobody got to shoot one, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. But in the ministry, you screw up, somebody dies and goes to hell. It's eternal. I won't take second best in those things. A lot of people don't like my style of ministry. That's all right. I don't like people who don't like my style of ministry. I am not ever going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for one person who went to hell because we dropped the ball. You want part of this ministry? Great. To whom much is given, much is required. I don't expect anything out of you that I don't expect out of myself. But you need to know the ministry. We want to teach you that. We want to get you ready for that. Right now, at your young age, you've got a better mind than I do, than the older folks do. You can grasp things. You are the best state in your life to begin to be God's missionary. But it's going to take some things. It's going to take an understanding to know how to do the work and all manner of the work. You know, Sunday morning, Thursday night, as I said, the singles ministry, the people ministry, the restart ministry, our alpha teams. Let me have all the alpha team leaders stand up, the first of all the leaders. Where's alpha team? You alpha? Where's Bravo? Where's Bravo team? Bravo, where's Charlie team? Stay up. Where's Charlie team? Sure you had a Charlie? Where's Delta team? Okay, everybody on those teams stand up now, all the kids. Last year at camp, just stay up, kids. Last year at camp, we put these teams together. And I told you earlier, here we are a year later, some people bailed out of those teams. They got a better offer. They got a better deal. They weren't as committed to it. Many of you stayed with it, and you're all doing a great job. What I want to do this year, tomorrow night, we're gonna hit it again. I want to pack up them teams with people who want to get on those teams because this fall we're going to start going back up to Lincoln again. You can sit down. These people are being trained to be missionaries. Trained to be missionaries. And I'll tell you right now, I know some of you people that stood up, you stood up because technically your name was on a list on those teams. You know you're not doing what you need to do. Your name's on a list someplace on one of the Alpha team, Bravo team, Charlie team, Delta team. But you're not doing what you need to do. Your mind's way someplace else. Okay, we'll work on that a little bit. Understanding to know the work. All right, the third thing. Look at verse 1. According to all that the Lord had commanded. Now, I want to tell you something. If you're going to be a missionary for God, you're going to have to do it His way, not your way. He says, they did it, but they did it the way the Lord commanded them to do it. There are certain things you got to do the right way if you're going to carry this thing and be a missionary. If you're going to get into the mission that God has for your life, if you're going to be a man with a mission, or a woman with a mission, or a man with a mission, or a woman with a mission, or a man with a mission, you're going to have to do it a certain way. You can't just fly by the seat of your pants. You can't just decide, oh, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. There's protocol when it comes to the ministry. There's things have to be done a certain way. And he says there, look, you guys got wisdom and understanding, and you want to do the work for the Lord, that's great. But it has to be done according to as the Lord had commanded. There's some things we have to do a certain way. People don't like my ministry. All my life they've not liked my ministry. I guarantee you this. I'd sit down with anybody, anytime, anywhere. You show me one thing that I command you to have you to do that's not found in that Bible. The problem is they don't want to do what the Bible says. Too many Christians today want to claim they're God's people, and they probably are, claim they have a Bible, and they do, but they want to do it their way. It'll never work your way. I did it my way too many years. I know it won't work. And I'm not willing to let you screw up what I'm trying to do when I already went down that road 30 years ago and know that it didn't work. We have to do it a certain way. We have to do it God's way. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. Bible says our mission is like a race. We're in a race. For you and for me, it's not just a race to win, but it's a race against time. Because the Lord's coming. You've got friends that are lost. Some of you are lost. Some of you are not where you need to be. And the clock is ticking. And the race for you and for me is not against to win something, but against time, because time is running out. And we're out there, you know, just doing our own thing. And one of these days, the Lord's going to come back and we're going to be out of time. We need to get some things done while we have time to do it. But he says over there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, he says, you're in a race, but you got to run that race lawfully. You got to do it the right way. You got to do it biblically. You got to do it by the principles of the Word of God. You can't just do it because you want to do it. Growing up to be God's missionary is a process you grow up into. It starts with your parents providing the training, setting up the models, and then the church, our church, supports their training of the parents, and then takes you and helps you with everything that they're doing. Teams of families reaching the world through the unity of the family, dad leading it, mom supporting it, and the kids understanding they're part of that unity of that family. That was God's plan for the Old Testament through families. He told Abraham, he says, through you all the families of the world are going to get blessed. And in the New Testament, God does it through families. That's how he does it. Teams of families reaching the world through the unity of the family. And you as young men and young ladies, you're part of that team. Now I want you to look at verse 2. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. Now, you know what God's going to do this week? He's already doing it. He's going to do what he did here. He's going to stir up your heart. Your heart needs to be stirred for the things of God. It's been too long since you were moved by the Holy Spirit of God over some spiritual issue that you felt burdened over. You get your emotions involved in everything in life. Who's going to be your boyfriend today? Who's not going to be your boyfriend tomorrow? Who likes you and who doesn't like you? We shed so many tears. We shed so many tears over the stupidest things in life that stir up our hearts, and we are so cold and indifferent to God's Holy Spirit stirring your heart. You know what this week's all about? It's to get the world out, get the boys out, get the girls out, get everything out of your life, and just let the Holy Spirit of God stir your heart. Let me ask you a question. Be honest, because I don't really care. Don't lie. I appreciate honesty. How many people, how many kids right now this week, God stirred your heart already? Let me see your hand. Well, a couple of you. That's good. That's good. That's good. He's got a big stick he stirs with. I want you to know that. He's got a big stick. He can stir you up. And you know what? This is why this week is so important. The stirring of your heart by God will definitely happen this week. But here's the real key. How about next week? How about the week after? How about next month? Having your heart stirred for the work of God, your mission as His missionary. You're going to have to discipline yourself, kids, to stay in the work and fulfill your mission as God's missionary. You know, I love a good bowl of chili. I don't find too many people that make really good chili. My wife makes great chili. But I found that, when you're making something that really good and you put it on put all the ingredients in there and you put it on the fire on the stove and it starts to simmer and it starts to go, you know what really you have to do to make it really good? You have to stir it every once in a while. If you don't, it all sticks to the side. It just bubbles up and doesn't go anywhere. You got to take that wooden spoon and you got to stir it up. What makes the best chili is every 4 or 5 minutes you stir it up. I don't care what it is, chicken noodle soup, vegetable soup, whatever. You just don't put it in and let it go. You got to stir it up. And what makes really good Christians and makes you ready for the work of God is God on a regular basis stirring your heart, stirring you up, getting you ready for what God wants you to do. That's the key. And He'll do that regularly. Look at verse 3. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary, to make it with all. And they brought him free offerings every morning. Now this passage is used by a lot of pastors and a lot of guys who want to raise money as a passage about giving money to the church. There's nothing wrong with that. You can do that. You can do that. But the greatest offering you'll ever give will be freely giving of yourself to the Lord. Heard a missionary years ago. He was a missionary somewhere in Africa. And he was into this little village. And this little village, didn't have a church building. And they were trying to raise money for the building and raise money for all of this. And actually, the people in the village were coming up and they were actually taking off their wedding rings because they didn't have any money, taking off their gold wedding rings and diamonds and putting them in the offering plate that they wanted to give for the work of the Lord. And he said that was an incredible sacrifice of their giving. But he said the most incredible sacrifice came from a girl who had nothing to give. You say, well, how can that be an incredible sacrifice if she had nothing to give? You know what she did? She walked up and she took the offering plate, and she put it on the ground, and she stepped into the offering plate, and she says, all I have to give is me. Are you willing to give a free will offering of yourself to the Lord tonight? Are you willing to say to Him, Lord, I don't have a lot, I may not have anything, but I will give You through a free will offering who I am. I'll be your man, I'll be your woman, I'll be your missionary. I'll give you what I can give you, and it is a free will. Your choice. God's not going to force you to do it. You choose to do it. Just like that little girl got that offering basket, put it down there, by her own free will, stepped into that thing and said, all I have to give is me, but I'll give it. What are you going to give Him? He's not going to force you to serve Him. He's not going to. He did everything He could do. He died for you. He hung on that cross. He agonized for you. Why are some of you so indifferent to that this week? Why do some of you not give a care about that in this world? Why are some of you right now, your thoughts a million miles from where this sermon is? It shows on your face. You're like a TV set with rabbit ears that are all twisted. You're not even getting a signal. A free will offering. A free will choice, your body, the offering through your free will this week to give to God. Every morning of your life, it's going to take a redefining of yourself. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, 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 a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove it as that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what? You're sitting here tonight as a child of God. You have something to prove to the world. You know what it is? You have to prove to the world what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in your life. And all the world will see it. You do that by a free will choosing. Christ became my dying sacrifice for me. And he's called me to become a living sacrifice for him. That was his plan. Some of God's people may die. They may become a martyr. They may get killed in a Christian faith. I understand that. God is orchestrates that. He does that. But God never called you or saved you to die. You might die in the ministry doing something for the Lord, but that's a special exception where God wants to do something. God didn't save you so you would die. He died for you. He saved you so you would live for him. I hear people all the time, I'd die for Christ. Living for him is a lot harder. Amen. I appreciate your zeal to die for him. But living for him is a lot harder than dying for him. When you die for him, it's over in a moment. Unless they cut your fingers off one at a time, and it may be an hour or two. But it's over in a moment of time. Living for him can go on 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. 40 years. Not too many people are willing to do that. Not too many people are willing to do that. Look at verses 6 and 7. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary, so the people restrained from bringing. For the stuff that they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. You know, your growth spiritually in ministry will be in direct proportion to your giving of yourself to the ministry of God. The verse 5 says the people brought more than enough. You know, in Christianity, giving 100% of your life will never be enough. A great example of that is the people who are running a camp this week. If you think they just gave 100%, you're crazy. They gave 150. They gave 200. They gave 300. They're up while you're still sleeping. They're doing everything. They're planning it out. This thing started months before we ever came to camp. In Christianity, 100% will never cut it. You got to go the distance. Got to go the distance. Got to go the distance, kids. Verse 6 says, we got enough. Wow. What we could do if everybody in our church, if everybody in this camp gave 150% of God. What we could get done. We could say it's enough. We don't have to preach anymore. We don't have to do this anymore. Now we're just going to go get them. If everybody would bring that free will offering of themselves and say, Lord, here I am. You get our church together, you know, every week there's 30, 40, 50 people gone somewhere. It just happens in all churches. If you got our church together and everybody who was ever associated with it, we probably have close to 300 people. But out of that 300 people, you know what? There's about 150 that really pull the load and do the work. Everybody else, they're good people. They really are. But they're along for the ride. They come when it's convenient. They come when they don't got a better deal. They come when the Royals aren't playing. They come here. They come to do that. They come whenever they feel like they need to come. There's no urgency for them to be there. I've often thought, wouldn't it be great if I could get up on Sunday morning and said, I don't need to preach today. We're all on fire. We're just going to go get it done. Never happened. I look at these kids, you kids, the potential you have, what's inside you, what God could do with you. And boy, it would be the greatest thing if we could just end this camp tonight and go hit the streets all day tomorrow and say, it's enough. We're going to go get some done. But we're not. It never will. But boy, it would be great. It would be great. God's plan was to reach the world through families, endless and ongoing generations that would carry the gospel to the world. That was his plan. His plan was that every family would get to the point where they would give everything they had. And God would say, they don't have any more to give. Let's get them going. You see, God won't use you till you got nothing left to give him. He wants it all. Right now, some of you are giving him half, but you want to keep some for yourself, don't you? Sure you do. Some of you want to keep it all. Some of you are so rotten and so spoiled and so stinking. You want God's salvation. You want to go to heaven, but you don't want to do one thing for him while you're here. You ought to be glad I ain't God, because I would but a mandate you could lose your salvation. Can't. But that's despicable. He hung there and died for you on the cross. You take that salvation so you can go to heaven and you just live your life like the world. 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Hang out with the wrong crowd. Dress like the world. Talk like the world. Look like the world. Do all the things the world does, but you're a Christian. What a mess we are, man. What a mess we are. You know what it takes? You know what you need to do? You need to put that offering plate. You need to step in it tonight. You need to give him everything. To give him everything. You kids here are the key to our church. I see it. You don't see it. You're still struggling with all the things you're struggling with. I see you as the next generation of our church. I see you as the key to it. Absolutely the key to it. That's why I'm here. I hope they have me preach next year. Maybe they want to get somebody better. There's a lot better than me. But I'll tell you what, you may find somebody to preach better than me, but you'll never find anybody to love you more than I do. I'll tell you the truth like I will. Let you smell raccoon urine like I do. How many camps have you been to where the preacher took you trapping? None. You see, I got an investment in you. God's got an investment in you. He saved you. And for those of you who are not saved tonight, he wants to make that initial investment in you this week. He really does. He really does. Look at verse 7. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. And the stuff that they had. What kind of stuff do you got? Must have been in the 80s. I don't know. They made a movie called The Right Stuff. Remember that movie? Who saw the movie The Right Stuff? Well, one of you. Good. I'm glad. That's good. The Right Stuff was about, it's a great movie. It's a great part of American history. You ought to rent it. You ought to rent it and watch it. It's on television every once in a while. You got to watch it. The Right Stuff was about the early astronauts in America in the 1960s in the Mercury program trying to get into space. And who knows who the first, raise your hand now, who knows who the first astronaut was in America who went into space? Okay, well, hang on. You had your hand up first. Who was it? Neil Armstrong was the first guy to walk on the moon. Who was it? Buzz? No, it wasn't Buzz. No, who? No, John Glenn, I think it was third or fourth. Anybody know? Who was it? Oh, God, no, who was anybody? Nobody knows that? Huh? Alan Shepard. Thank you, Doc. That's right. He died. In fact, they're all dead. Glenn Jen just died not too long ago. They were the seven Mercury astronauts. And the movie The Right Stuff was about America's race into space. And they picked these seven guys who were incredible, because going into space was the great unknown. Space is the most unforgiving, uninhabitable place that you're ever going to get into. If you ripped your spacesuit, your blood boiled instantly and you imploded inside. Zero gravity, zero oxygen, zero temperature. I mean, it is the most foreboding, it is the most dangerous place. You do not make mistakes in space. It is the most unforgiving place that you could ever get into. And these men, nobody had ever done it before. They were the first astronauts. They were, in their training, they were put through a brutal training. They were going to experience G-forces of being lifted off by a rocket that could explode at any moment. Nobody had ever done it before. They'd sent monkeys up, and the monkeys, some of them made it and some of them did it. But these guys, they had the right stuff. They had what it took to step through that door of the unknown and to be launched into a new world that was very, very hostile to them. That one wrong decision, one wrong switch, one wrong glitch in the system, and you stayed in space and died on lack of oxygen, or you blew up, or one rip in your suit and you became a pizza inside that spacesuit. They had the right stuff. They had the courage. They had the fortitude. They had the vision. Every one of them knew that they probably had a great chance they were going to die. And they were willing to take that chance for the advancement of a country getting into outer space. And they did it for the government. God wants you to step into a hostile world as a Christian. One that is waiting to chew you up and destroy you. One that is willing to destroy you and everything about you and wants to take everything from you, that you make one wrong move, one bad choice, one bad decision, and it can end your spiritual life forever. And if there ever was a time where young men and young ladies needed to have the right stuff, it's becoming God's missionary. I'm looking for it. I got him. You got the right stuff. You got the right stuff. I got girl. You got the right stuff. You gals got the right stuff. You guys here, you got the right stuff. I got a lot of astronauts who have the right stuff. I just don't have enough. I want more. I want you to step in that offering plate and say, I'm willing. But it's going to take the right stuff. Come tomorrow night, you're going back into outer space. You're going into the world. You're going to go into a hostile environment that wants to destroy you. And the only thing that will get you through is what you do this week and what you decide to do of giving your free will offering of yourself to the Lord. That's going to take the right stuff. He said they had more stuff than they knew what to do with. Boy, I wish that was true. I mean, I'm blessed in my church. I got the majority of my people got the right stuff. I'm farther ahead in most churches. Most churches run 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 people. You couldn't find the right stuff if you look for it with a laser beam and a flashlight. I got people who have the right stuff. I just want some more. And I'm looking at you guys and you gals out here. I want you. I see some of you who have the right stuff. I watch you. You got the right stuff. 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 You guys got the right stuff. Come on. What's keeping you from stepping in that offering plate and saying, here I am? Every issue, every problem, every disaster that you face will keep you from fulfilling the mission that God wants you to fulfill. And I'm going to tell you something. You, too, will need the right stuff. This week has been preparing your heart to be God's missionary. Going back to your school just a few short weeks. To your friends that you have right now. To your neighbors. At work. Begin to make the right choices and the right investment. And the only two things that are going to last for all eternity, and get to the place that you give your body as a living sacrifice and make the right investment in eternal things. And It starts this week. Start tonight. I've given you 2 days to just preach to you and let you have a good time. I'm coming after you tonight. I'm coming after you tonight. I only got one more night. I'm coming after you tonight. I want to know who's got the right stuff. And if you don't have the right stuff, it's okay. I still love you. But let's separate the men from the boys, the women from the girls, the whatever those other expressions are. Let's get down to where it's at. Three things this week. I want to talk to you for a moment. I want you to look at me. We're not going to have one of these invitations where you bow your head and we'll sing 16,000 stanzas of Just As I Am or whoever the world you are. No, no. I've been up front with you. I put it right across the plate, waist high to you, eyeball to eyeball. That's how we're going to conduct this thing. I'm taking for granted that you're men and women and you got the right stuff. I'm going to give you that. Maybe you don't. I'm going to pretend you do. And I think a lot of you do. Now, let's just get right down to it. Some of you need to get saved. It's just that simple. Now, let me talk to you about your salvation. Your salvation isn't because your mom and daddy want you to get saved, though I'm sure they do. You don't get saved because of the fact that your friend did or your sister did or your brother did. You don't get saved because you necessarily want to please your mom and dad. Listen to me. You get saved. You get saved because you understand you as an individual have a personal sin debt that you have to take care of with God. You don't get saved because your friends did. You don't get saved because you feel some emotional experience. You don't get saved because this has been a very emotional week. You get saved because you know that you, as a human being, have an old sin nature and you have a sin debt that needs to be paid for by Christ's death on the cross. That's why you're getting saved. Your sin has become exceedingly sinful to you. Now, the next thing I want to talk to you about in salvation is repentance. We talk a lot about repentance. Let me tell you what repentance is. And if you want to get saved tonight, let me tell you what repentance means. It means the way you're going in life, you're going to change directions, and once you get saved, you're going to start following God in that direction. All repentance is a change in direction of your life or where you're going. You understand those two things. If you can grasp those two things, you're ready to be saved. Your salvation isn't based on anything that anybody else wants you to do. It's based on the fact that you, as a sinner, as a human being, have come to the place in your life now where you realize and know and understand that you got a personal sin debt that needs to be taken care of. And when you come to that point in your life and you are willing to repent of your sin, that means you're willing to quit going this way and go this way. Then you're ready. Now, man to man to woman, eyeball to eyeball. None of this Christian stuff where we just eye to eyeball. I've been right up front with you. If you need to be saved and you know you need to be saved, if you know you need to be saved, you get up and come down here and meet me right now. Bob, I need to be saved. I know I need to be saved. A bunch of you raised your hands last night. If you need to be saved right now, get up and come down here and meet me man to man, woman to woman, whatever it may be. Come on, who'll be first? Let's do it. Who'll be first? I need to be saved. Who'll be first? God bless you, sweetheart. Who'll be first? Who'll be second? Come on. Anybody else? Anybody else? Come on. A lot of hands went up last night. Come on over here. Anybody else? I need to be saved. I know I need to be saved. I'm not putting it off. You're not doing it for anybody but the fact that you got a sin debt. Right, guys? You got a personal sin debt, right? Anybody else? Come on. Who'll be anybody else? Come on. Raise your hand last night. Come on. You need to be saved? Let's do something about it. Right now. Man to man. God's looking for you. That's right, sweetheart. We're just going to wait for a few more minutes. Come on. Anybody else? Anybody else? I need to be saved, Bob. I'm not fooling around with this thing anymore. Come on. Anybody else? This is about who raised their hand last night. Anybody else? We're just going to wait for a few more minutes. Your shot. Free will. Free will. You get to decide. Heaven or hell. The Lord of the world. Anybody? Anybody else? Okay, counselors, you know who these people are. You come and get these people. Take them in the back right there. Hang on for just a minute and keep them back there. We'll deal with them here in just a moment. But if these are your people, counselors, come and get who your people are. I have no idea. You take who they are, and you take them where you need to be, but stay in a room here because we're going to need you here in just a little bit. Just a minute. All right, just take them in the back, and we'll work on them in just a second, and we'll take care of that. Now, let me ask you this one, guys. Second thing going to happen this week. All you sitting out there, you know you need to get right with the Lord. You're not where you need to be, and you know that. You know you're not where you need to be. You know you're not. You know you're not. And you say, Bob, I heard what you said this week. I heard you tonight. I'm going to step into that offering plate tonight, and I'm going to give myself to God. Okay? Come on down with me. Come on down with me. Come on down with me. Get on your knees. We're going to form a big circle. Come on. Everybody that means that. We can take care of business right here. On your knees. Everybody on your knees. Everybody. Come on down. Just pile the place up. Come on. Just fill it up. Fill it up. If you can't get down, just kneel down there in the aisleway. That is fine. That is fine. Well, we can forget the third one because everybody's up here now. Okay. Look, guys. Let me ask you a question, first of all. Just look at me and nod your head. I get a nod from you, I'm good. Everybody here that is up here, you know for sure you're saved, right? Keep nodding until I see it. Everybody, you know you're saved, right? Josh is shaking his head. He's not sure he's saved. Would you win him to Christ, sweetheart? You all know you're saved, right? Okay, okay. Now here's the deal. Listen to me. I know it's tough. I know it's tough. I love you so much. You're the greatest kids on the planet. I love you so much. I love your moms and your dads. I love them more than I know what to say. I love them. They're my best friends. They co-labor with me. They work in a ministry with me. They suffer along with what I suffer with. They're the greatest people on the planet. And you're their children. And I want you to be part of that ministry. I know it's tough, kids. I know it's tough. And I'm going to tell you, the giants are going to come after you. They're going to come after you. They're going to come after you, and they're going to come after you as hard as they can. Now, here's what you have got to do. You have got to get in that youth group. You have got to get with Zach and Jenny and those counselors. If you're up in Lincoln, you have got to get with the people up there. You have got to get going and stay dialed in. I am available for you anytime you need me. I'm not a pastor who is so busy doing whatever they do that they don't have time to listen to you. You are the most important thing in my world. Because without you, 10, 20 years from now, we don't have a church. And you're the most important thing in my life. That's why I love coming and preach these camps. Because you're important to me. But guys, you have got to get your one foot out of the world. I know in some of your cases, I know maybe mom and dad aren't doing what they need to do. I understand that. I'm sorry. But that doesn't mean you don't have to do what's right. You're better than that. You're stronger than that. I know you are. You're the best kids in the planet. I wouldn't trade you for anybody on this planet. We will get there together. If you live in Kansas City and you're not coming to our church or you don't have a church, somebody invited you, start coming. We'll come pick you up if you don't have a way. We'll get you there. All you got to do is tell us what we need to do. We'll come and get you. Your counselors will come and get you. If we got to buy a stupid bus, we'll buy one. We got to buy two buses, one north, one south. We'll buy them. We got to buy four, north, south, east, and west. We'll buy them. That's how important you are to me. I can come and I can preach to you. I'm pouring my heart out to you. I can do everything I need to do, but I'm telling you, come tomorrow night, you're going to have to take your stand. And they're going to come, the giants are going to, they're already walking up and down your neighborhood, calling your name. You're better than that. You're stronger than that. You're tougher than that. You got what it takes. You got everything you need. You got the Lord inside you. You're God's men. You're God's women. You guys, some of you older guys, you're everything that you have everything that God wants. You have to stay focused. You have to let us help you. You have to let us be there for you. You can't do it by yourself. I can't do it by myself. Your mom and dad keep me accountable. And they're my best friends. We need to keep each other accountable. When you have things in your life that come your way, you got two choices. You can either run to God or run away from God. Run to God. Get in that youth group. Get in that program. Get in everything. Let these counselors who have given up their week because they love you, let them be the mainstay in your life to help you get everything that you need. We'll do it for you. I'll give you whatever you need. I'll do whatever I can do for you. I'll do whatever I can do for you. There'll never be a time when you come to me that I'll be too busy to talk to you. I will give you whatever you need. If you don't have a Bible, I'll get you one. If you don't have lessons, you want to be discipled, I'll get it set up for you. I will do whatever I have to do. Your counselors will do it too. They work for me. We're a team. And now I want you to be part of my team. I want you to leave here tomorrow night. I don't want to have to do this tomorrow night. We did it tonight. Tomorrow night, I want it to be a night of victory. I want to give you your marching orders tomorrow night. But we have to take care of business tonight. We've got a bunch of kids are getting saved out there. The rest of you, you're already here. You're already saved. I want you to get on one of those alpha teams. I want you to get part of that. I want you to work, and I want you to stay focused. You promise me you'll do that. Tell me, look at me, you're going to do that. You're going to be part of that. I'm going to hold you accountable because I love you. You're the best of the best, and I'm so proud of you. And this has really been a good week. You got rested tonight to have fun. You got tomorrow, you're going to get a good lesson in the morning, and I'll come back tomorrow night, and I'm going to give you your marching orders. I'm going to really challenge you tomorrow night. But we won't be an invitation tomorrow night. Because if you look back here, there's nobody left. All the chickens are out of the coop. The rest are getting saved and the rest are getting right. And that's all it takes. And tonight when you have your devotions with your counselors, I want you to open up and just give them and be honest with them and get whatever help you need. Okay? All right, let's all hold hands and we're going to pray together. We're a team now, kids. We're a team. And we're going to work together. Father, we do thank you and praise you for the Lord Jesus. And I thank you for these good kids. I thank you for the ones that are getting saved. I thank you, Father, for your good grace of coming down and touching the hearts of so many people. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you'll just take these kids, the ones that are here with me now, that you'll stir their hearts. You'll help them step into that offering plate and give themselves as a living sacrifice to you. It's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. Devil's going to come at them with everything he's got. But let them know that we are here for them. I'm here for them. Zach and Jenny are here for them. The counselors are here for them. Our church is here for them. And I pray, Father, that you give them the steel in their backbone to take their stand. I love these kids. I love them so much. I'd do anything for them. I want them part of my team. I want them part of my church. I want them part of the work that you've called us. I want them to be your missionaries. I want them to be fulfill your mission in their life. And I want to be the one that try to help them along with all the people in our church. Lord, I do love you. And I thank you for the privilege of being here this week with these kids, with these counselors, with the staff and the men and the women who have made this camp such a great week. From the cooks to the people who did the crafts, to the people who did the activities, to the people who, Lord, who did everything. God, I just so thankful for what we have in our church that are so willing to give of themselves and so willing to give and sacrifice their time, their jobs, their money, all of the things for these kids to have a shot at being your missionary. God bless them. God, take care of them. God, give them the reward at the judgment seat of Christ that only you can give. And Lord, you only know, you alone know what is in their hearts of how much they've given and how much they've prayed and how much they have sacrificed for this week. And Lord, I know you're a good God. You'll take care of it. Now take these kids. I give them to you. I ask you to take every one of them and make them everything that you want them to be. I commit them now to you, Father. I love you. Thank you. Take them back to their dorms and their free time tonight and their counselors and let them have the victory of their life and let us stay on target and stay focused. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Shake, we ask it. Amen. I love you, kids. God bless you. Just go ahead and have a seat here. I'll be up and tell you what. Oh, Joe's coming up here right now. If you need to talk to your counselor about anything, get with them afterwards. You know I love you. I'm here for you. You're the best of the best. Want to see all of you at church Sunday. Huh? You bet you can. Just give me a minute here, buddy. You bet you.
All right, guys, I know we're we got a lot to do tonight. Here's the problem. It's raining out. So we've got activities planned, but just stand by to stand by. I'll text out to your counselors what activities are going and what aren't and what we're going to do. I know the Zach's older group, I think he's out. Go to your cabins for some quiet time. We got dinner right now. And it's going to – I'll keep it open as long as you need counselors. I mean, I know we got – It's flexible, so just go do what you're going to do. Counselors, take your kids. Dinner is open. If you take them straight up there, that's fine. And then I'll let you know what the activities are and what we're going to do from here on out the rest of the night. All right, let's go.